minutes to 8. You're listening to Mandate. Robert Kelly is going to take a course on the history of the Manx media starting on the 5th of January. We'll be hearing about that in a moment. But first of all, he's on a search for old wireless sets.
Yes, particularly one called the Cleartone, built maybe between 1924 and 1933. But there are other sets as well, many of them, but no examples of them are known to exist on the Isle of Man. It would be a great pity if none can be found, because what they are part of a former Manx industry.
So they were made here?
Yes, all in the Douglas area by various Manx people. They started making them as soon as the BBC started transmitting from Manchester. And the Isle of Man was so far away for the weak signals that the island needed wireless receivers which were capable of receiving the signal with a degree of quality to
yes.
it.
So they were beyond the cat's whisker stage then?
Yes, the cat's whiskers were reckoned to be capable of receiving signals within 25 miles of a transmitter.
Yes.
And even when a studio opened up in Liverpool, that was no good as far as the Isle of Man was concerned, unless you had a really good valve set. Yeah. The cat's whiskers were all made with crystals.
Yeah.
You needed powerful valve sets, maybe 4 or 5 valves into them. Probably the very first manufacturer was Sidney Hinton, whose firm still goes on to this day.
So will he actually manufactured these sets here on the island then?
Yeah, yes, he designed and assembled them. His set was known as the TR2, the Hinton TR2.
Yeah.
And he described himself as a wireless specialist. Harold Colburn was the next man, in partnership with a chap called Kermode. And that was the foundation of the T.H. Colburn enterprise, and which eventually led to Manx Radio as well.
Have you ever set eyes on one of these sets? I know you just read about them all.
No, we know them from old documents and advertising, that sort
yeah.
of thing.
So there are photographs somewhere?
No, known photographs, nothing at all.
Yeah.
All is that we know that a chap in Garwick, Lieutenant Commander Sylvester Quine, produced some. We know that the Hawley brothers in Victoria Road produced some. We know that Ernie Dickinson and Guy Dickinson from Manx Radio Rentals of later years produced some in Lower Douglas. We know that a firm called Harmel and Victory House and Prospect Hill produced some. We know that their courses were held for the unemployed in the 1930s in Castle Street, at a school there, for people who were interested in joining the wireless industry in the Isle of Man. But none are known to survive.
You suspect there might be some somewhere. It might be one maybe tucked away somewhere.
Yes, well, when I moved them to my present home, I found a very old wireless set in the loft, so
yeah.
who knows what exists there. Local cabinet makers actually were employed to make the cabinets,
yeah.
usually of mahogany.
Yes. So this is obviously for future research. You want
it would be yeah. lovely that for the Manx Museum to have an example of the
yeah.
these Manx sets. They employed a lot of people. They were part of Manx history. It's a great pity that they seem to have passed away and been yeah. forgotten.
Well, they take us on to the next topic we're talking about, and this is a course that you're starting in January at St. Ninian's High School on the history of the Manx media. I don't know where you'd start and finish on that, Robert. It's a huge subject, isn't it?
Yes, it goes back way before the printed newspaper. It goes back to the first broadcasters, because if we're going to tell the story of the media, it goes round in one full circle. You are a broadcaster today. Everybody relies on the spoken word, and it was the spoken word that started it all. It started with the bellmen who went around the town ringing a bell and shouting it out. It started with the Sumners, the men who went to churches and started shouting it out at the church entrances. And of course it started with the politicians promulgating the laws from Tynwald Hill, yeah. broadcasting it, in other words. Yeah. And it started also with the travelling beggars, or you might call them the local folk doctors. They were known as ginnies. They toured the island looking for work and dispensing their charm medicines, and they were spreading the news as they went.
Is there any evidence that we had the sort of ballad singers here spreading news, as they may have had in London?
No, not of that, as yet. Who knows what we might find.
Right.
Certainly the bellmen were the dispensers of information as far as the Manx people were concerned, because the early newspapers were printed in the English language, aimed at the English resident population, and therefore the Manx people had to rely on the spoken word.
It would take some length of time to get news from one part of the island to the other, then, would it?
I suppose so, but people were very relaxed about time in those days. Newspapers took absolute days to get brought to the Isle of Man, maybe a week sometimes. Sometimes there are accounts of bundles of newspapers going back maybe upwards of a month old getting to the island. But there again, Manx people didn't mind. People in England didn't mind. Some people who subscribed to newspapers were subscribing to papers that were hired out by the day or by the hour in England, and they paid a small fee afterwards to buy second-hand, third-hand, fourth-hand newspapers.
So, I mean, you're covering a huge period of time over a short course, presumably, so you'll have to discipline this, will you, to try and cover everything?
Yes, very condensed. Each the courses are on Tuesday evenings, 1.5 hours each, and so I'm going to have to break it down into specific subject matters. For example, one intriguing one, the power of a kiss. Why did a kissing survey in Douglas lead to the banning of Mickey Mouse in Douglas in many years later?
That sounds intriguing.
It's the story of censorship. And the imposition by a journalist of censorship, the old story of set a poacher to catch a poacher, set a thief, you know, and so you set a journalist to impose censorship, and he was the one responsible for the kissing survey. He learnt by his mistakes and therefore banned anything to do with kissing in the future.
Really?
Yes.
And Mickey Mouse comes into it?
Oh, yes, having Mickey and Minnie having a cuddle on a headland in the moonlight was regarded as being a bit too near the knuckle.
Robert Kelly and his course on the history of the Manx media starts on the 5th of January. If you want details of that, incidentally, it's at St. Ninian's High School. That's on Tuesday nights. Details of that from Dr. Fenella Basin, whose number is 897-590. 897-590. And the time has moved along to 4.5 minutes to 8 now.